Crash Course Live is presented by Smash It Demolition Derby
and the 2016 Bashford Cat.
Demo Derby Masters.
Winter Slam 2016. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash in Capital City Carnage.
Psyopa Racing and PsyopaRacing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast. That happened right at the 11th hour, didn't it? Going to have a fun show with us tonight, Aaron Bunce. We've also got Brian Tompkins joining us here in studio. Aaron is, I believe he's just on the other side of that door here. Momentarily, we'll be talking with him for a little while, and a couple items of business here before we get going right off the bat. Ron McClung, I don't know if you noticed that, Brian, he had a birthday.
Absolutely. I wish him a happy birthday.
He spent that in traditional Canadian style at a pizzeria.
You know, he might be the most busy, other than Chris Marquardt, Ron might be the most busy guy in Demolition Derby.
He's everywhere.
I couldn't imagine the amount of kilometers, then into miles, he's logged this year. He is all over.
He put in an order for two sets of door rats because he's going to run like two shows right out of the blocks next year. I guess he's going to he told me not to tell anybody that he's going to Capital City Carnage Urban Destruction, so I won't tell him. But he said he needs that stuff together. He goes, I want to have all that stuff ready for me to pick up because the cars are already built. He's very busy. Very busy. And then Jeremy Ertman, his birthday's today.
Yep.
He's turning 35. Jesse Hoffmeister had a birthday today over the break since the last episode. Jonathan Furr had a birthday. Jay Oberg had a birthday. All those good reasons to be talking about it. Joker, however, some poor decisions or some poor reasons to be talking about Joker. I mean, my gosh, the fire that just ripped through everything.
Yeah, I've talked to him a little bit. He said that the shop was gone, and it did get a part of the house, but it wasn't bad enough. They were still – the last I knew, they were still staying in the house.
Oh, okay.
So
from the pictures that I saw online, I saw the shop, and then I saw some of the cars that had been torched.
I asked him, and he said it got part of the house, but they were still staying there, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
obviously, he's had a rough stretch. You know, he's due to have some good luck. Hopefully, you know, things go right for him.
And he had their turkey derby indoors.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Yep. Tim Tiger Memorial, that one? Or?
No, the one that they had indoors.
Oh, you're right. I missed that one.
I think he called that the turkey derby, too. That was the one in the Carolinas. The Tiger Memorial, that was the one we talked with Jason Koch about.
Yeah, I missed that one. This is my first show back since Blizzard Bash.
Yeah, I know. We had talked, you and I had talked, and among everybody, when we were walking out of the airport, and you made the call. We were walking to the car, and you said, just do it. Just do it next week. Don't even bother trying to squeeze it in. So we didn't.
Yeah. And then I forgot I had to double the work, and then I think I've had doubles the last 2 months. No, last Monday we were at Jeremy Gully's deer hunting because it was my our oldest son's birthday, so I missed that show. So it was –
Does he get the day off of school for his birthday every year?
No. Well, the funny thing was is he turned 14 this year, so he was – you know, he can legally hunt deer with me. Mm-hmm. So I was planning on him taking the 28th off, which is his birthday, so he can hunt with me. And I got talking with Jeremy, and he's like, well, if you guys take a Monday and Tuesday off and come on down, you know, we could I'll take the day off. You know, they're my off days. We'll hunt together. So after I, you know, begged and pleaded with my wife to get the extra day off – they talk about cheaters and then they walk.
Right on cue, huh? Size that up quick. So you were saying about the.
No, we ended up going down and going hunting for a day and a half or 2 days and just kind of got away from everything. It was fun. We had a good time. Hung out with Jeremy and Jody and his daughters and met Martin. And Martin is the absolute cutest little boy. He has got a smile that is just. When he smiles, it's really awesome. So it was cool. We got to go out on there and hang out and, you know, did a little hunting. We didn't have any luck, but had a lot of fun.
Did you even see anything?
Yeah. Opening day or the first day we were down there, we saw four doe. Didn't have a doe tag for down there, so we couldn't get anything at that. And then the Tuesday we were down there, it started raining. And Jeremy has built Jody a beautiful enclosed hunting blind. So we sat in that out of the rain, and Jeremy was sitting in his stand and hadn't seen anything for a little while. So we got up and was walking back, and he had a spike that was headed back towards us, and unfortunately went the wrong way. So then we, you know, hung out and shot the breeze with those guys for a while, and it was fun.
Originally, we were going to have Aaron Savage come on the show and hang out with us for a little while, but that has fallen through. He is now elbow deep in an engine extraction, so trying to cure some gremlins over there. He's had an eventful 8 days or so between trying to pull the motor on this project, and then he had a baby. His girlfriend, wife had a baby last week, so they couldn't join us last week. Building on the hard luck conversation, Todd Height, our friend, he went back in for another MRI, and they found two radial tears in his meniscus, and the PCL that they put back in place has now fallen out. The screws had backed out. They were holding everything in place, so he's got to go in for more surgery. You know, but well wishes to him. Some more entertaining news is we have our first listener in Jamaica tuning in tonight, Mark Sciopa. As he's preparing for his wedding, he's listening now down in Jamaica. And I talked with Dustin Anderson, who Dustin was trying to make his way out to New York for the New Year's Eve party, but he's not going to make it because the engine that he ran to a win in the Wadena Grand Slam way back, this is like 2014, he hasn't run that motor since. He's getting his car together for Winter Slam because he's planning on doing that, and the $500 freshening job is now going to require a new block. Because he shared some pictures of the lobe on the cam that was ground completely off and went through two of the cylinders. Some tremendous pictures. I can't believe it's still right. I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't get mad. I didn't ask him for permission to share that, but those pictures were impressive. That motor never missed a beat either. And nonetheless, it was eating metal inside, and it never seized up, never locked up. But man, the cam itself, where that lobe was ground off, and then the cylinder walls, it must have
been Mopar. Chevy would have shut right off.
I don't know. You'll have to take that up with him. Hopefully, his wife's not watching. His wife won the fantasy league at Capital City Car or Blizzard Bash. Did I tell you that?
Oh, that's cool. No, you didn't.
Yep. She won.
I didn't do bad this year. I was like 152nd or 129th or something.
Yeah, that puts you in the top like 10%.
Yeah, not bad. Out of 900, that's the best I've ever done. I was impressed.
It's not bad at all. There's none of the fun teams came in, like the ones that were submitted on Josh Decker's behalf. we didn't get nearly as many of those this year. He's in the hunt. Did you see the Wise Guys media picture?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
So with the Jason Sauer's paint job on the car.
That wasn't just Jason. That was one of the guys down there had started that.
Didn't
and then
one
Jason
of them,
came over.
I thought one did one side and one did the other is how it went.
They had Decker on both sides and some of the dots and stuff started. And then Jason said, excuse me, sir. Let me try to do this. And I'm blanking on his name. I know if Jacob's listening, he'll tell us where we've gone awry. But he took him under his wing and showed him how to do it. And then they split up both sides, and the car was looking great when they got it out there.
It was cool. I was at work the other day, and somebody was asking me about Jason's artwork. So it's getting pretty well known.
He's tagging himself as the most popular artist in America. Did you see that?
Absolutely.
Hashtags. He had his I saw he did two, like, basically they're curio cabinets.
Yeah.
Those look pretty neat.
Yeah.
Very superhero themed.
Do that in your house? You got to have a cabinet or two you can paint, don't you?
Yeah, probably.
Right on the living room wall. A nice Demolition Derby scene.
I bet that wouldn't go over as well as you think it would.
Yeah. Hey, Alan would love it.
Alan would be a fan of that, yes.
Absolutely ecstatic. Kelsey'd probably like it, too.
Kelsey would be fine with it in her room, yeah. She wouldn't be bothered too much by it.
You don't think Mrs. Marquardt would think that's a good idea?
Nope. I don't think so at all. I got a van that he could tackle. I wouldn't be bothered. Go ahead. Yeah. The doors and the fenders are already two different colors anyway. And I bought it like that. I didn't even have to. That was effortless.
Before you wrecked it? Before you wrecked it?
I didn't have to wreck anything on that one. Where the metal's showing through, I can take full credit for that. Trevor Fleming. There it is.
Jimmy there you go. Yep.
Jimmy Frost was checking in. Trevor Fleming did the artwork on that. Let's see. Always fun to get feedback. Josh is listening at home, and
the Josh Decker
and Doug Medlin. That was one of the things that we're going to get into through the course of the evening. Aaron Bunn's joining us after the long ride in. Glad you could make it.
Yep, thank you.
So we've got a bunch of stuff that we want to hit on through the course of the night regarding some of the giveaways. There's some confusion on who and what and where about the cars that are being given away at New Year's Eve. First and foremost, Aaron, I appreciate the generosity in co-raffling off this this Chrysler. Tell us about that car. This is the one that's going to be raffled off separately. You got to buy tickets to be into the drawing. You're not going to get a door prize ticket that's going to give you a shot of the Chrysler. This is a separate one, just like we did last year with Brad Tice's car. Where'd the car come from, and why in the world would you want to give that thing away?
Well, Josh Decker's always been giving me crap about bringing back GMs to raffle off at all the banquets, so I figured I'd try a real nice shocker, and this is a super, super clean 74 Newport. It's one of the cleanest ones I've ever brought back. It's from Georgia. Mm-hmm. And my buddy Sam Wilson down there found it for us. And it'll be running, driving. Catskill's hooking us up with a shifter tank, battery box.
That's awesome.
Ryan O'Stranger's the man, just so you know.
That's awesome. Anybody wondering?
Yeah, it's going to be stripped, but it's not going to be built. But, you know, it should be a good start. Right. The basis for somebody.
So you're not going to put any of your cheating tricks in this one?
I don't cheat. I'd have to ask you how to.
Yeah.
But he drives GMs. He doesn't have to cheat.
Yeah, okay.
For someone who doesn't have a lot of time or money, it would be a good starting basis for a really good car.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen some pictures. It definitely looks like a beautiful, beautiful Mopar.
Floor pan, trunk, everything's perfect. It's super clean.
Awesome. We got pictures of it up online. If you go to shop.smashdeadfire.com, all you have to do is search New Year. It'll bring you to the option of either buying the car or buying the tickets. This one, you said it came out of Georgia?
Yep, southern Georgia. It's really, really clean. It was all pimped out. It had 20s on it and stuff. So,
the thing is you said it was all pimped out, but it's still that fawn tawny brown all of those cars were.
That's a popular color in the 70s for Chryslers.
Yeah, but it... Yeah, it's a sweet car. I hate giving this one away, but you know we'll be raising money for the Chris and the equipment, and because I'm sure he
cool. Yeah, Chris breaks a lot of stuff throughout the year. We're pretty much perfect, but Chris breaks a lot of shit. So it's on him. Yeah. I mean, we got to be honest. Mm-hmm. Right, Chris.
Yep. Just got a message from Philip Brown. You remember Philip Brown? If I say the name Philip Brown, you're gonna look at me like I got two heads, Brian.
Sorry.
Right.
Probably.
But if I tell you the Blizzard Bash Panda.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He just sent me a note. He was trying desperately to make the finances work to get out here. Can you imagine if that dude showed up?
I've heard a lot of people going through that same thing right now. So
I'm almost relieved because I don't know if the Holiday Inn is ready for the Blizzard Bash Pandas to show up.
It'd be a good time. I definitely think this year's party is going to be a good time, pretty interesting, a lot of fun.
I was over there again today, and all the menu and everything's been finalized. A lot of the seating arrangement stuff's coming together well. I don't think we're going to have any challenges there.
Now, Josh is still sitting at the head table by himself, right?
Oh, I don't think Josh is coming. He changed his mind. He said he's got cooler things to do.
Hang out with us? That's cool. Yeah.
He's going to go to a better party.
Believe it.
I don't know. If he's listening, he's going to be screaming at his TV right now. But no, Josh is coming. You got a wedding, but you're still juggling everything.
Yeah, we're going to make it. I think the wedding's at 4. Reception starts at either 5 or I think reception starts at 6. So I got to think eat by 7. Open bar. So I'm, I figure from 5 to about 8, I'm just going to be pounding.
Perfect.
Just get ready, get with dinner in there though. So it's gonna, even out.
So you're gonna Uber your way from a reception to the Holiday
Inn? No, my wife doesn't drink, so she's gonna be driving.
Perfect.
So I may actually sleep from Auburn to Waterloo to get the energy back. So I'm not as young as I once was. And
that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not as old as Aaron, but I'm not as young as I once was. And and then we'll be ready to go. I'm gonna come hang out with Chris Marquardt and Josh Decker and Ben Haast and see if I can get some cool points from Josh and be a good time.
Good luck. Good luck getting cool points from that guy.
Buy a ticket for the shocker. I got an idea where I like to take that and run it. Maybe my buddy Aaron can, bring one up because, he's been hauling, that GM stuff up for a long time, but there's got to be a stash of Mopars down there that we could,
Have you ever even messed with a Mopar?
Aaron's got about 40 wins in Mopars. He just forgets about that.
I started out in Mopars, I started bringing up cars from down south. Was all Mopars, and then I started running the bigger shows, and I was I was getting beat up by the GM, so I switched around and stuck GM for a long time until I quit running.
Mm-hmm. So. We've touched on it before. Aaron, when Dent was big, Aaron went out and ran Superdome.
Yeah, Michigan.
Michigan Superdome, and then two or three other Indianapolis.
We did Steubenville, Ohio. It was in a hockey rink.
Dent, he almost won the Dent show at Lebanon Valley. Yeah. Got a fuel pump knocked off.
Yeah.
Probably the last mechanical fuel pump he ever ran.
After that, my cars didn't bend.
Yeah, so. that's true too. But Aaron's done a lot of. He was one of the first New Yorkers that really traveled. I mean, it wasn't just him; it was him and Dougie and Danny Snyder. Carl LeBaron went out the first time.
I continued to go out.
Yeah,
you know, every year until I went to the 80s and newer.
Yeah,
because that's not me.
No, it's that's no fun.
But it was a good time because everyone got along. You know, there's a lot of people there.
Yeah,
you could look at someone else's car and they wouldn't push you away. You know, everyone. You know, it's like a big family out there.
And that's what we've said about the shows that we go to now. You know, you go to the bigger shows, you can walk around and look at cars, and guys don't mind. They talk. And it's cool. Maybe it's just the Midwestern, you know, how people are. But it's really cool to go out there and see guys that, you know. I mean, around here, you look at somebody's car and, you know, you're about in a fist fight. And that's not fun after a while. But, yeah, it's definitely – I mean, we got some old VHS tapes of Dent shows from back in the day. And they were definitely some wild shows back then. Hard hitting, just crazy.
That one in Michigan was, I think it was 228 cars.
Yeah.
And two arenas set up in there so they could have one going while they were cleaning off. And that was a good show.
Yep. Yeah, because I think you took a Mopar out there the first time, didn't you?
I took a 74 New Yorker, just like this one I'm raffling off.
Yeah.
And that was close.
Yeah. So then went to the GMs. And We found a buddy of mine had a DVD from the one in Indianapolis. And you got right down to the end. I think you said you had tranny problems or something.
In Indianapolis, I lost a tranny. Both times I went there, I took Impalas.
Yeah, you were in a black Impala the one you watched.
The black one I lost a tranny in.
I don't remember what the year was now, but we watched it last year. Maybe like New Year's Eve we watched it.
2000 or 2001.
Yeah, I was going to say around 2000. Yeah. But that was a big asphalt track.
That was wicked, yeah. Because the third mile oval, all paved infield, and you had the whole infield.
Yeah.
And that was just insane.
Yeah. And, I mean, those cars really, I mean, they were built nowhere near as heavy as the stuff that runs today.
We had a simple four-point cage, no kickers to the floor. And that was before they had the halo bars and all the extra stuff. I mean, it was.
Yeah. Those shows are where Mike Decker really became famous as Slam Man.
Yeah. That's where I met Mike, yeah. Yeah, he'd bring two cars out to some of them ones, and he'd lay. Everyone knew who he was afterwards.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Yeah, he's a maniac. So.
Yeah, it was really cool. If guys out there, people out there haven't seen it, I would, you know, I don't know if they're probably on YouTube. The Dent shows were.
Some of that stuff's out. Gotta be out there.
Yeah, it was awesome. But like I said, Ben and I actually went down to Lebanon Valley, and Wayne Clemens, right?
Me and Wayne Clemens, it was like a half hour.
Yeah,
we went at it
after it and during that torrential rain. Downpour. Yeah. You've been to Lebanon Valley. There was.
Yeah. Did you guys went and run or you guys just watched?
Yeah. We went down and watched, but there was water probably, I don't know, 3 foot deep in parts of the pits. It was
tires were floating away.
It came over the hill there by Lebanon Valley and just dropped and it poured like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it was, but yeah, you and Wayne battled for a long time. That was a good show.
Yeah, thought I had him there because his car was kept quitting and ended up driving over top of him the last time I hit him and
broke
the fuel pump off.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, he's a good driver. Wayne's a good driver.
So. Yeah, it was a real good show. But yeah, that was, I mean, that's kind of where the big stuff started was Dent. Todd Dubé was, you know, the first guy to put something like that together, really. And, you know, it kind of led to where we are now with the big shows, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that had to come and go in order to get us where we're at. Dent, everybody remembers all the good stuff, and then there's those couple funky years in between where there's some different points championships and stuff that came and went. Stuff didn't quite fly the way that they wanted it to, but that was sort of the springboard from there. We ended up getting Metal Mayhem the original edition of that with Charlie Perrine.
Yep.
And then Tori took over that, and then Derby Icons, they started getting the larger caliber shows, and it just sort of progressed and evolved from there, and now here we are looking in just a matter of, about 10 weeks, we're going to be back in Topeka for Capital City Carnage.
Hard to believe.
It might be a little bit more than that. 8, 10, probably closer to
12 weeks.
About
12 weeks.
But still,
That's it's crazy. It's become a year-round sport.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, because we'll have to do Winter Slam before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have Winter Slam in there before. And that's full. That sold out within the first couple of days. I mean, Winter Slam, that's literally right around the corner. And I know guys that are thrashing to get their stuff together for that one. Winter Slam coming up on the 11th of February in St. Peter, Minnesota. Build questions, go to Randy Wasloski, 507-327-1944. Randy's got the number, 507-327-1944. Grounds and vendor information to Jeremy Ertman, celebrating his birthday. Maybe not call him today. Hold off till tomorrow if you want to vend over there. 507-525-4290, 507-525-4290. It's Neapa Auto Parts Winter Slam 2017. World class, paying $2,000 to win. Stock 80s paying $1,000 to win. Trucks and compacts, both of those paying $1,000 to win. Hard hitters in each class are $300 and a trophy. The longest toe is $100. Second longest is $75. Best paint out of all the event is another $100 going home with somebody there. It's a special event, and you got to be a little special to go to it too, because it's not an easy one to endure at times. I mean, last year when it was negative degrees and we were just praying that everything held together, the technology was a house of cards.
You know what's going to be it's a little iffy this year too, is at least last year we were down in the dry creek bed, so the wind kind of blew over the top. But if we're up like at normal, like in the middle of a field somewhere where the wind's whipping across and hitting at 50 or 60 miles an hour,
it's fine.
Going to be chilly.
It's fine.
How does electronics work in that weather, Chris?
It doesn't work well. It's what they call unreliable. I believe that we're going to have a somewhat of an enclosure. When I talked with Randy about all this prior, is that there's going to be somewhat of an enclosure where he's going to take.
Well, we
a
were
stable
in somewhat
gun.
Of a king enclosure at Winter Slam. We were on that bandstand. Remember?
Well, yeah, I remember that, and that was nice. But this is going to be a lot better. This is at the top of the grandstands, where it's open air and the plastic is then stapled to the perimeter of that. So that's going to cut down on the wind a ton. I think it's going to be way, way better.
At least that's what you're telling yourself now?
Oh, yeah. I'm really trying to convince myself.
How's it going so far?
Not good. Not good at all.
Maybe it'll be. Remember the one year we were out there and it was a heat wave? It was like.
Everybody was bombing around in sweatshirts.
Yeah, like 28, 30 degrees. It was.
And they were telling us how week before that they had like 3 feet of snow they had to move.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. But it is. That's a great show. I mean, it's a great way to kick off the year. You know, and then it's pretty much full steam from there till November again.
Mitch Carlson, he was so close last year. Almost had that one, and Brandon Johnson ended up winning it. We saw Brandon at Blizzard Bash, so kind of a neat way to start the year and end of the year, seeing Brandon perform very strong. And there's a lot of guys that are talking about building for the welder class out there. The stock class is going to be awesome. Stacy Flynn, I'm sure he's going to be a factor in that. He won that last year, and that was the first guy to win the chain stock division in 4 years.
Yeah, because Colton wasn't there.
And ran four.
I'd like to know if Colton's entered this year.
I don't know.
Because, I mean,
they had to do the draw again, basically the wild cards, because they had so many entries. The problem is daylight. There's just not enough time in the day to pack it in, because once the sun goes down, you're out of luck. It's time to get inside, otherwise you're losing fingers.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But the action during the day definitely keeps you warm.
The first year we were there, we were like minutes into the day, and the compacts were on the track. The ground was totally frozen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was concrete out there.
Yeah.
And we were minutes into it, and the guy right over the berm and jettisoned right almost into the beer tent. I mean, the only warm place on the ground was almost like aluminum park.
Heated beer tent, yeah. Yeah, then I remember during the one run flag, the guy reached down and picked up a piece of his cage and threw it out the window.
Yeah,
that was the first year we were there too.
Was it? Yeah, I remember that. That was neat.
Those
the Brett Nelson almost came over the berm into the announce area.
Mm-hmm.
He got hit along the berm. He had that white Crown Vic.
Yep.
Remember the first year they had the trucks? The first year we were out there with the full weld trucks. There was only like seven of them, and it was all iced over. So when
it was
they were like dump trucks
hitting.
Yeah, it was. It was bad.
I like the change they made last year to the trucks.
And it worked.
Yeah, it did. It worked. It worked.
It worked there, and it worked at. It worked. We saw those rules first kind of get implemented at Crossroads of Destruction the year before we saw them at Winter Slam, and it worked. It was a great move. Those trucks got new life. I mean that was such a wild event at Crossroads unto itself, just because we saw Randy flip his dad Tony.
Yeah. His dad is due. His dad has got to win the trucks this year. He is like second and third. He's either been second or third every year we've been out there. He's got to be. It's got to be his year, finally. He's had some good runs out there. Remember the one year he got something in his eye, like early in the Derby, and like just ran with it closed, and I think he drove down to second or third that night, mm-hmm. and then was, you know, was talking to Randy afterwards, and Randy's like, "What's wrong with your eye?" "No, I got something in it," and didn't want to get it checked, and I believe Randy really encouraged him to go get it checked, and he eventually did, but.
Tony the Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had no depth perception, but it was fine. He was still finding stuff to hit.
That's even, overrated.
Not even an issue.
That's overrated.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. I don't think there's – I haven't come across anything. I don't think there's any derbies between now and Winter Slam that I know of.
No.
So if there's anything that does come up and
you want Chris Marquardt there, give him a call. He's all about it.
I'm
something January. I mean, January is a pretty boring month for you. I mean
– No, it's not.
How about your RC stuff? What do you have for RC stuff? Got some RC shows coming up, don't you?
As a matter of fact, it's funny you say that. I think it's December 11th, January 22nd, February 23rd, March 23rd, and March 9th and April 23rd. And we're working on something for March 3rd as well up in Fulton.
Nice.
It's the only time we can do it is like the next
month.
That span of time. Other than that, it's out to lunch.
Yep.
That the guys from Ohio, HTRC, is coming up for New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's cool.
They're coming up.
Very cool. They're gonna give a Ohio bodybuilding technique for RC cars.
It's funny you ask that because I asked them if they would show everybody what their secrets are, and they said get a bunch of screws and some metal and build a body, and that's how to do it. It's not how to do it. There's more to it than that. But it's like
guys from Ohio that build derby cars. You know,
yeah.
There's nothing special about them.
Right, RJ. Yeah. I was sad to see RJ Volts is selling out. He said he's going to sell out this year because those weld cars are just getting to take so much time and so much effort and so much money. So he's going to be all done. But a limited farewell to RJ. His plans are to come back in the stock division, not in 17, but to get back into it in 2018, take the year off, sell everything, focus on family and stuff for the interim, and then break back in at the stock level.
You probably addressed it last week, but I see they're adding more cars to the heat that Ben and Josh are running it.
Why not?
All right.
Why not?
Blizzard Bash.
$5,000 to win, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's going to make that. Is it going to slow the pace down or is it going to pick it up?
No. There's no slowing the pace down out there. There's absolutely no slowing the pace down.
You know,
I mean, we discussed that last year when we actually went out for the first Capital City cartage with the payoff, you know, the $30,000 to win. And they said go, and they went. I mean, they were driving like it was Blizzard Bash. You know what I mean? It was very impressive. You know, that was all the classes. So,
and they've got their floor situation straightened out. The base is going to be drawn new each time. So I anticipate a very, very hard and racy surface.
Whatever they did from Friday on at Blizzard Bash definitely was the hot setup.
Well, they ripped the floor out, put it on top of the existing berms, and drew new clay,
yeah.
Spread it out, let it dry, yeah. and packed it tight.
I think that's the key. I mean, that's I've seen that happen when they've put dirt over asphalt on at racetracks. Is if you get the base in there and let that dry, if you have the time to, obviously. I mean, I know they're a little time constraint, but let that dry out good, then you can pack it right in tight and go from there. But when it's wet underneath, it just kind of sponges out and you go to the bottom. So
I think one of the other problems that they ran into with that surface, you know, just in watching it and knowing what racetracks do, if you put soft dirt on top of the packed surface, there's no place for the base to go. So when you start putting the heavy stuff on it, it tends to want to push out, and then you've got the soft clay on top that's drying when you've got all the heat in there, mm-hmm. but the concrete stays cooler, so then there's no place for the moisture, the condensation to go too. So that stays in the bottom of it so that the top's hard and the base isn't.
Yeah, it just pushes the base right out.
Seneca County's front stretch now.
Yeah. Remember when that used to be hard and fast? And
I do.
Remember those days, Chris?
It was so weird. It was so weird going back down to Woodstock this year for a couple shows, and they've redone the grounds down there in Shenandoah County, and that front stretch reminded me so much of Waterloo. Now it's all been rebanked. They've raised it quite a bit, and it's all done for horse racing and for the buggy racing. I can't remember the sulkies, I think, is what they call them.
Yeah.
And they can't get the cars on it anymore. But the first couple of years that I went down there, when that track was still had the grandstands on both sides, it was about as wide as this room and 300 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. It was just like going to Seneca County. I mean, it was long, it was narrow, and it was so fast and hard. And then towards the end of the night, after the moisture got worked into a little bit more radiators popped and stuff, it got that sandy, gritty. It wasn't mud, it wasn't dirt, it wasn't clay, it wasn't stone dust. It was just this weird mealy stuff that packed in everything, and it was like being miles away from home and still being at home. Mm-hmm. Now they've got a giant, like, 60 feet wide, 280 feet long ring that can hold four times as many cars as it used to.
That's awesome.
And they're certainly putting that to good use, too.
Yeah, down there, they definitely use all the room they got.
They're talking about adding a spring show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice. I mean, you know, you're kind of bored in the spring.
I got some dates open in June now. We'll have more on that after the first of the year. We get Kenny Swingle and Andy Wolfanger on. We'll know more about some of their meetings and some of the stuff that's going on. We got some neat opportunities next year. So I'm anxiously awaiting final word of what is and isn't going to happen next June and July. But it's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to some of the developments. New promoter. Did you see this? New promoter of Yates County Fair.
Yeah.
Total Destruction has moved in there. And that's another topic that we're going to be following up on as things become more concrete. They've got the show now, and then there's some other stuff that's being done. I like some of the direction that all this stuff's going. Kenny Swingle and Andy are trying to finish some stuff on the backside, and then one collective announcement will happen after the first of the year. It's some good stuff going. I like the direction that they're working towards, and then
hey, you got to look at it this way. Yates can't really get any worse. I mean, it's got to go up from there, right? I mean, if we're going to be honest,
yeah.
They're gonna have some cards playing in their favor this year too.
Absolutely.
So I like the direction that's going, and in the conversation with Kenny, the meeting that he had went very well. So that's good. It's very very good to hear. It's cause for optimism.
Good. It's always good to hear locally that there's stuff's gonna improve.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing next year in terms of the place that you're going to go and any of the shows that you're going to be working with, Aaron?
I worked last night with Mark Benjamin. We got tweaked the rules a little bit at King's Old School for the June show. I'm pretty much just helping them guys next year.
Just that?
Yeah. It's hard to go watch it when you can't run anymore. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you prefer to stay away from it now that you can't run? Now that you don't run?
Yeah, it's pretty, I don't know.
It's definitely tough to watch. I mean, I've not been to where I can't run anymore, but it's definitely, I mean, it's more fun running than it is watching.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I like being part of the shows.
Yeah.
It's good to have, you know, you got front row seat, and, mm-hmm. you know, I like helping Brett and Mark. They try to do a good thing for the drivers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
it is kind of funny though that you know Mark Benjamin and Aaron Bunce are working on rules together. I mean they work together breaking them for so long they might as well work you know well, they might as well work on putting them together. So that's good.
Yeah.
You know poor Mark. He bought that one car from Troy and it was so muddy that it filled the frame right full of mud and then it hardened and turned black. It was strange how that happened. Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, bizarre.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I talked to Mark. I told him that. I told him that he's the only person that I would bribe to get there, and then I would have 2 liters of Pepsi waiting for him behind the desk if he came to New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Nice.
And he messaged me back, if I come, can I bring my poker table? I'm like, that's what it takes.
Absolutely.
So
Mark likes playing cards.
Yep. Expect to see him in a couple of weeks up at the New Year's Eve party. And so getting back to the cars, the Chrysler itself is being raffled off. Aaron's got that on the table, and then we're giving away 3 vehicles. Now, there are no tickets to New Year's Eve sold at the door. That's something that everybody needs to know up front and be clear on. Now, if we've made some sort of arrangement because of the way that your paychecks fall or something, obviously, then we're going to be okay. But being that we are so close to capacity right now, in order to guarantee yourself your seat, get your money in so that we can get the Holiday Inn taken care of and we can finalize everything on the list along those lines. There are no tickets sold at the door. I got to have a head count turned in so that we make sure we have enough food for everybody. We are very, very close to capacity at this point. When you come in, you're going to get your bracelets for the buffet, the bracelets for the open bar, and you're going to get a ticket for the door prizes. The first door prize is going to be raffled off. Is going to be I think it was an 87 Crown Vic. It was the black car that Jeremy Gully had. Steel bumpers front and back. It ran, drove, moved, everything like that for him before. The second prize is going to be drawn is it's a blue Chevy Lumina that Jason Sherman's given us to give away as a door prize. And the third one is also from Jeremy Gully. It's a Dodge truck. We'll have some photos of that thing getting posted up. And that's going to come with everything that you need in order to convert it that's 318 over to carbureted.
Sweet.
You can have everything there. So you'll get to be able to convert that motor over to a carbureted power plant right out of the box, which is pretty cool.
And so then, I heard a rumor that you might have got your chops busted a little bit about that pickup last weekend.
What do you mean?
That, you know, you asked Jeremy about something about the truck, and he's like, "What truck? I don't know what you're talking about." Well, I may have been giggling down at Long Eddy with him as he was doing that.
He didn't tell me about it until after I sent him money through PayPal to buy a truck. It's like, ha, ha, ha. Everybody's a prankster. No, that didn't happen. But yes, I was panicking a little bit, thinking perhaps I dreamt it, or he'd forgotten, or he'd sold it, or crushed it. Or
when you were talking to yourself one of those nights, and somebody just decided that.
At 3 a.m., I decided, yeah, we're going to give away a truck. Jeremy's got trucks. Eric Everling has trucks. We can get a truck. How hard could this be?
Team Double D somewhere. We'll be all set.
We'll just start telling people we're going to get a truck. We'll figure it out at the end. He told me that you were in on that.
He's like, I'm going to bust on Marquardt. And I'm like, absolutely, he needs it. He hasn't had it in a couple days. He might still. And then as we were eating dinner Sunday night, we were discussing you riding with Jeremy down to Morris and how much fun you had and, you know, all that good stuff. And
I relived that a little bit today. Really? My neck was stiff as a board all day today, so I took my hand on my chin and pushed my chin over to my shoulder to try and crack my neck, and it didn't, but my whole body immediately went to sleep. Like, tingles, the whole thing. My hands wouldn't work right. So I was like, my initial concern was that I unscrewed my own head. My second thought was, man, how fun it was to ride with Gully.
You're going to do it again, right?
I have no plans. I got that out of my system. That's done.
You're good.
It's
over with. That's the extent of your the derby career.
Jeremy told me, he goes, if you weren't such a sissy about that scratch on your leg, I could see the bone. I could see the bone. I know what my bones look like, which I hadn't planned on doing without the use of an x-ray machine.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, there isn't much skin over that shin bone anyways. I mean,
and it split like that.
Yeah, it comes right apart quick. Like.
The doctor looked at it, and he said, I still can't figure out why I don't have an elbow right there. It's like
milk you drink.
Drink a lot
it
of
keeps
milk.
You healthy.
I don't have any good reason why I don't either. I have terrible friends. They tried to fix a broken sliding seat with a zip tie. What else could I say?
You had your seatbelt on in theory, right?
Yeah, there was a seatbelt over me. It was screwed to the pillar, so it was just...
What they should have done is put it on you.
This seatbelt would have been loose on you. I mean, you're like twice the size of me.
They should have put more metal screwed. You like put you in it as tight as you could get it, and then metal screwed it again, so you were stuck there.
Yeah.
And then you would have been perfect.
It would have been fine. I don't know if it would have been better or worse than the situation that I was in, but it was great. The only way that it would have been worse is if they would just metal screwed it right to me. Rambo with it right across.
Now, what I want to know is, I don't think I ever asked you, when Gully took off wide open forward, what were you thinking? Like, what was going on in your mind?
I relived a lot of my car accidents.
I see. Were you holding on? Did they have something for you to hold on to?
There was a steering wheel on the side, but I didn't hang on to it.
Really?
For what? I mean,
to keep you from bouncing forward.
That's part of the fun, I thought.
No, you don't want your face bouncing off steering wheels. That hurts.
I hit this part of my head, hit the A-pillar so hard that the ringing in my ears made me forget that I couldn't feel my body.
That's awesome.
Saw a side of an Econoline van between the two stacks, and the stacks are almost like crosshairs. You can see the wheel. It's like, so that's how you... Boom! Aim. And then you put it in reverse, and I learned initially when we backed off the line, I looked over my shoulder like when you go in reverse. I didn't turn and look over my shoulder. I just kind of looked in order just to be aware that there was something that we were closing on at a high rate of speed, and that was when my ear touched the bed of the truck. And I knew that that was the wrong decision. And at that point, I didn't look backwards again. There was a couple times where I tried to slouch down in the seat to keep my head from snapping backwards so hard because he's pretty vicious when he goes in reverse. Going forward wasn't – it was bad.
Yeah, going backwards really isn't fun.
It just nose out from now on. But Jeremy got the wheel broke off of that truck because while I couldn't feel my hands, I still got them up enough to do this out the window. To Eric and George, and they obliged, and they broke the wheel right off the side of that thing.
And then you were upset because you wanted to keep riding.
That was the end of it. Well, I wanted to see that. The EMT that was working there looked just like Mike Rowe.
Nice. You couldn't get them just to stitch it up without going to the hospital? Yeah, you know.
What?
You couldn't get them just to stitch the shins up without, you know.
It's funny you should say that because I went to the
zip ties.
Yeah, zip ties. Yeah.
I went to the First, I showed Andy Vona. Turns out Andy Vona's got a stomach like me. When I showed him and he turned white, I knew I was in trouble. So then we went to the medical tent over there, and they looked at it, and they said, so what was your plan? And I said, my plan right now is to just be a man about it and super glue it. And they said, don't do that. It's not a good idea. Don't, because that's really deep. And I said, how deep was it? And she did this.
She didn't put her finger in and go like it was this deep or anything like that?
No, because we all knew. We all knew that it was deep enough to know that the bone wasn't broken by visual inspections. Yep. No cracks. Nice. That was, yeah. Yeah, so I don't think I have to do that again. If I had to ride with anybody, I'd ride with Dan Bolton.
That'd be a good choice.
You ride with Mark Benjamin. That way you wouldn't be sore afterwards.
Oh,
wow. Wow, Aaron Bunce. Jumping right in there.
You know, it's funny. I remember the one year they used to have demos after
Mark
the races.
And I were texting back and forth the other day, and I asked him what moldy $100 bills feel like when you pull them fresh out of the can buried underneath Chrysler's.
What did he tell you? Yeah. And send pictures?
He never did write back.
Oh. He went out to check.
Yeah. Canada, we used to have derbies after the races. A lot of the local tracks did. So one year, I got a Ford.
BlackRock used to have derbies during the races.
Yeah. I got a Ford Country Squire. Was that the 70s version of their Country Squire wagon? It was green. Mm. And I did a stroke of business and put four snow tires on that thing. Yeah. All the way around with snow tires. I thought I was doing a stroke of business.
You're the smartest man alive.
So we go to Canandaigua, and it's after a race. And I didn't really know Aaron then, and I didn't. I'd heard of the Snyders, and I'd heard of some other guys. Well, I knew Mark, and Mark was there. Mark had a GM wagon. And we go out, and we proceed to start derbying. And I'm driving like a ladle head for, you know, the quote Ben. But none of the, you know, big wagons are hitting me. So I'm bouncing off all these other cars. And I ended up getting down to fifth before I put myself out. But Mark ended up like seventh or eighth because everybody else there knew Mark. And apparently he might have upset some guys over the years derbying, and they were all there, and Mark was by himself. And Mark's wagon didn't look so good afterwards.
Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah.
They used to let us use the grass all the way back to the jersey barriers.
Yeah.
And there was 4x8 sheets of plywood for all the sponsors for the track.
Yeah.
And we had his car so wasted that he couldn't steer, and he was going up and down the jersey barriers, piling up all the sponsor signs.
Yeah.
And it was like a shooting gallery because there's people there I didn't know. But they were hitting him, going around me to hit him. And I was going around them to hit him.
I remember when Buell and Decker won their features at Fulton with John King's shows, that they just used oversized excavator tires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were gigantic Uke tires that they just laid on their side around the perimeter. Kind of like what we saw at the Superstock show or Keystone Nationals.
Yep.
But they were spaced out quite a bit. So the track started out as a pretty decent rectangle. By the time they were done, it was all
oblonged
It was all over the place. And then Donnie Hartzell moved that loader with the nose of Imperial. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember hearing about it. I wasn't there, but I remember hearing about
it. That was crazy. And the Imperial, those didn't move. That was the impression.
I think that Imperial might have came out of Ben's shop. I think that might have been the one Ben built for Donnie to run the mod show at Waterloo.
Yeah, that was the one that Donnie won the mod show with.
Yep. And then one, he ran a bad bunch of types.
I'm sure it's still around.
Yeah, I don't think he ever junked it.
Parts of it, at least.
I think the whole thing, just as it sits, I don't think he ever got rid of any of it. No, maybe the tires.
Yeah, I think he does still have it, because I thought he just ran it a year or two ago somewhere, but I could be wrong. I thought it was somewhere in Donnie had that, but he had motor trouble or training trouble or something, and didn't end up getting on the track.
Did he want to? Was he talking about bringing it to the Pro Mod class at Kings World School?
I don't remember.
I can't remember now either.
But I know I was somewhere, and Donnie had that car there. But I think he had tranny trouble or something, and it didn't make it on the track. It was the last time I remember seeing it, I think.
He's pulled some miracles when he's had tranny troubles.
When they tipped the car up on its side and Nathan changed the transmission at Waterloo the one year in his feature car?
Yeah.
Or I don't think they tipped it on its side. They might have just lifted it up with either Brett's or Donnie's flatbed. Nathan changed the transmission.
Yeah, Ryan Deal just messaged. He said neck issues. I don't know anything about that. Ryan Deal spent the last 3 years in a neck brace.
Yeah. Yeah, with a yeah.
So, changing gears real quick. We talked about Smash Demolition Derbies and their plans of putting together and expanding in some way the Joker stock classes that they've got planned. It looks like they're trying to find out the gauging interest right now of a 5,000 to win stock class, which would be remarkable. The Bash for Cash planned for the 26th through the 28th of May 2017. It's going to be again in Chillicothe, Ohio, Ross County Fairgrounds. Approved vendor list for next year. Listen to this. Pretty much, if you need it, you can get it from these people right here. Derby Tees, obviously, they've been a major player with Bash for Cash for years. Near Sliders, Big Rock, DEC Headers, CIDS, Destroyer Demo Parts, Catskill Fabrication, Lead Sled Wheels, Ski Inc., Joker Parts, Scott Derby Tires. Scott's Derby Tires, I mean, that was kind of the only one that was missing at this point as we went through the list. Now all you need is a car. Just buy everything you need from those guys and you're set
and
to
go. I think they're raffling off. They're doing the wagon like they always do, I believe, if I remember this right. And if not, Tim will tell
us. Then there's a driver.
And then they're raffling off a driver as well, a driver 76 Impala.
Which if you have any sense in your head, you'll knock the windows out and run that in the wire class that day, right?
Absolutely. I would.
It's in a heartbeat. Chevy. What good
yeah,
is it,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there's a welder there. We'll jack it up and weld the spiders.
Sure there's a welder
good
there.
To go. Buy some DEC headers so it goes out the hood, and there you go.
Ultimate Derby, we talked about this one too. Capital City Carnage coming up right around the corner, May 17th to 18th, or March 17th to 18th, 2016. 10,000 to win limited world class, and it goes down from there in increments of 1,000, 9,000, 8,000, 7,000 for 4th, 6,000, 5,000, 4,000 for 7th, 3,000, 2,000, 1,000 for 10th place, $5,000 Mad Dog Award, $60,000 total payout, $200 to enter the limited world class, 100 car count limit. Email Candace at ultimatederby.com. You can find more information at ultimatederby.com. They've had such a response to the class that Josh is going to be running in that they've now added some seats to that extreme class where they've got the pedals on the one side, the steering wheel on the other. So they've added entries to that due to the response. So that's going to be neat. Josh I saw the count. It's something like 100 days away from being back on the track.
Have they revealed they're getting built for them, or is it a secret? Or because I heard him talking about three or four different cars when we were in Topeka.
Yeah, did you listen to him at all? Just car after car after car after car. There's going to be like 17 cars that shows up at Jake Wazorik's house, and Jake's not going to know what one to build.
Yeah.
I saw pictures of one that would be right in Ben's wheelhouse, but Ben's really going to have to go out a couple days early to make sure that it's done the way that Ben wants it. Because, again, Ben's driving the car. Josh just has to steer it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Josh, all he has to do is not aim it towards the wall. You'll be fine. Listen to Ben.
No doubt. That's good. I'm really looking forward to that. Heat's going to be pretty cool.
Yes. That's going to be a lot of friendships broken.
Yeah, oh, yeah. hopefully, Josh is all right to finish commentary afterwards. You know, Ben doesn't kill him when they get out of the car or anything. But, you know, he'll be all right.
If he kills him when they get out of the car, Josh should be really proud of that because that means he made it that far.
Yeah, that's true. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
And that's going to make for great pay per view.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sales are going to skyrocket just for that.
They'll go through the roof. May Mania is coming up. They've got their $5,000 Thunderstruck Award as part of May Mania, $35,000 in payout for that event, May the 13th at the Golden Spike Arena. Back there again, that one. I think they've reserved spots. Everything has been based out of a 20-team draw, but if they get more teams, then they'll run them. So that's it's kind of cool. I mean, is that
a truck team show or car team show?
They're going to have the main draw for May Mania is cars, but they've added that truck
you
element.
About a truck also, and right. I wasn't.
The truck been, element is going to be a team format.
What I thought.
We're going to have Johnny on as soon as he gets done. And I lost track of where he was. Last time I saw a post, he was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
He gets everything settled.
They were doing some vacationing.
This has honestly been, and I'm surprised, it's been a little bit of a tough time of year because I feel bad bothering people.
Yeah.
After we've been talking to so many drivers and promoters all year, we get to this point where we see him going on vacation. It's like, do I really want to bug this guy when I know that he's out of town? Mm-hmm. So we've just been kind of laying low and enjoying a little bit of downtime on our own. Bringing it back around to the conversation we had tonight, DMM Fabrication, Doug Medlin, he's sending down. This is the other raffle that's going on. One of the other raffles that's going on. He's donating one of the steel 03 and newer Bolton conversions to raffle off, and he's letting all the money raised stay with Crash Course.
Very cool.
Which is awesome of him. So that's That's very kind of Doug. So that's going to be there. It's going to be on the back table. We're going to have some of the stronger guys lift that. Brandon Tyson, he's making the trip out. I'm going to put him to work.
And Brandon could probably carry that by himself.
It wouldn't be a problem for him. He's 6'10".
Yeah.
He was last year, he was walking around selling 50-50 tickets for an arm's length.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, tickets. I got pretty big arms, and he beat me, but just by a little, but he beat me. So, yeah, that's cool.
Zach Olson, I talked to Zach. They're flying in on Friday the 30th. We're going to be picking them up in Rochester and bringing them into town. And
Rachel had
Rachel Lane.
Yeah, she emailed me or texted me or whatever. It said where's the best place to fly in? And I said Rochester or Syracuse. Either way, it's about an hour by throughway to get where you got to go. So I'm not sure where they're staying, but
it's a reasonable hour. It can be 42 of the most terrifying minutes of your life if I drive you.
That's why you don't drive.
I got to pick them up.
Oh,
unless you want to go get them.
30th. What time are they flying in?
9:00.
A.M. or P.M.?
P.M.
Oh, let's see what's going on. If you need Chris, if you need something, I'm here for you.
I was just gonna Uber it.
I mean, I know you like Josh better than me, but if I'm here, if I can help you, I'll help you.
It's true, but there is more of you to go around.
Wow, another's there.
Right there. Josh bit me. I couldn't get three jokes like that in through the course of the night.
You're at two now. You got one more.
Two. Dan Bolton. Yeah, Dan Bolton, he just messaged me, Team Easy Does It, on the heels of our team truck conversation about May Mania. Start putting the pieces of that together.
I know who he's been talking with, so I assume that...
Easy Does It's Paul Cox.
Yeah, I know. So I'm assuming if it's a two-man team, it'd be him and Paul Cox, because I know there was going to be a truck built here for Paul, but the last I heard, things had gone awry, and...
They'll still build him a truck. We just got to figure out where the truck's going to go.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of options.
Good.
Coming up once we get past the first of the year. I'm excited at the direction of the way some of those conversations have gone. I think, it got a little scary there for a while because we were trending so far into that realm. While the rest of the country was sort of backing off of the heavy build, we were starting to inch a little bit closer to it. But it sounds like... sounds like a lot of the events in our area have stabilized and started to look back to coming down to that. Not the heavy weld stuff. I mean, limited weld at best, more along lines like the super stocks that we saw, mm-hmm. more of that stock stuff. And I think that's going to keep the Derby climate healthier mm-hmm. here, because I don't know if our area knows what they're getting themselves into. Because so many of our drivers in this neck of the woods and in this part of the country are used to driving multiple shows through the course of the year. If you start hedging towards that extreme build, you're only going to be able to drive once or twice a year, and our Derby economy isn't going to support that. The fairs are going to suffer. The shows are going to suffer. Yeah. The fans are going to start turning their back on it. You've got guys that can't afford to get into it to begin with that are going to be out of the sport altogether, and then you've got guys that can marginally afford to do it. They're going to burn themselves out, and they're not going to be able to drive so many times. It's not where New York needs to be right now.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, it's not a knock against anybody in New York. It's just that, to build the cars that people see from out west, the time and the money that they put into them, it's just, if we get to that eventually, that's great. But it's just to jump into it, from last year to this year, it's something that takes a long time. I mean, they've been building them and driving them like that out west for years. It's what they're used to.
Dunkirk came out with their rules, and they've detuned things a little bit out there, which I was surprised almost to say that
so you mean they aren't running the Imperials that are wrapped in steel anymore?
That's not what I said. I think those will always have a home out there.
All right.
I think there'll always be some place for those cars to run in Dunkirk, but the primary fare classes have backed down a little bit. Bob has been working to try and get things under wraps. He's in a rough spot. I mean, Bob's not got a good spot. He's a first-time promoter for that show. He's got a pool of cars that aren't junk, and they're not going to be junk anytime soon. You got a bunch of drivers saying that they don't want to build those type of cars, but they still got them. So you got to find some place for those cars to run.
Yeah.
Because they've got them. Otherwise, you're ostracizing those cars. And when you ostracize those cars, now you've ostracized those drivers. Those drivers aren't going to come back and support the show, even though they're asking for a stocker build. Mm-hmm. And what they've been accustomed to in terms of what the rule book was and what actually they could execute on their cars, were there was some gray area there. So by turning around and trying to make a stocker set of rules that they're going to try and adhere to, there's going to be some growing pains, but they're doing it the right way. They're letting everybody know up front what's going on and what the thought process is, and trying to iron out the questions as early as possible. Because the biggest thing that they got to do with that, just like any other show that's orchestrating these type of changes, you have to communicate. You have to tell people what's going on. Because if you don't, you're going to have fights out of the blocks right away.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or you can do what Aaron does and build how you want.
Ohio style. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, I think that's, you know, guys that go out and travel a little bit and, you know, talk to other guys. I think that's, you know, like you said, communication is the key. You know, I mean, you got to know the group you're aiming for, and, you know, you got to have rules that those guys are going to like, and, you know, you're never going to make everybody happy, but you got to try to make the majority happy, you know, so.
And ask for permission before you climb under cars.
Absolutely.
It will avoid you from getting run over.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have anybody do that to you? Just start climbing under your car?
Oh, yeah. I met a lot of people in our areas. You give them a little kick saying, hey, what are you doing under there?
Yeah. That was before the cell phones. That was probably before cell phones.
Period. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was before cell phones for sure.
They didn't have cameras and phones. No, they weren't
taking pictures or anything. They were just down there looking. I dragged the guy out from underneath a car at Fulton or Utica Rome once. I can't remember.
You what?
Dragged him out from underneath.
You dragged the guy out from underneath?
Yeah. He was laying underneath, and I just grabbed him by the foot and yanked. I said, what are you doing? He didn't know what to say. But
did he explain? He just wondered what Ben did to your car?
No, not at all. I didn't think it was my car. I think it might have been Ben's car, to be honest with you.
Not a good idea.
No. No, it was probably good that I did it instead of Ben. But
Ben would have turned him into a pretzel.
Yeah, I just dragged him out. But, yeah, it is what it is. You know, some guys are a little overzealous. But, you know, I mean, come up and talk to a guy, but don't just jump underneath his car and, you know, start doing crazy stuff. But
unless it's Bobby Brockway, then you can. He won't be bothered.
No, he won't be bothered.
No, he's not even worried about it.
No.
Just climb under it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Did I mention I got to drive his car?
No, you haven't mentioned. You haven't mentioned it on the show that you got to drive his car.
We were, it was Sunday, and I went out and was walking around the pits, and, you know, him and Bobby Whitaker were finishing their stuff up, and Dustin was, you know, getting his car finished up, and I went over, you know, I walked by and talked to him while I was coming back through, and he's like, you going to take it up tonight or today? And I was like, yeah, I'll take it, because he actually said something to me Saturday. Yeah. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to. So I went over, jumped in, and as I jumped in, I ripped my Crash Course shirt, so I got to get a new one of those. So I get in there, and I'm like, all right, how do you fire this thing up?
I don't have any more your size. Got it. That's three.
You won, Josh. So he's like, here. And now Blizzard Bash, you know, I mean, that's a pretty meticulous build.
Were you so nervous you made it stall?
No.
Oh.
Guard motors don't stall.
True.
But he goes, okay. He goes, here's the fuel pump, and there's two wires, just with bare wires sticking out. Twist them together, and here's the start. And it was the ignition was a male end and a female end. Put them together, and then hit it with hot wire. And that's how that's his ignition system inside his car. And he goes, I ran switches once, and it cost me Metal Mayhem. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
But yeah, so I fired it up and drove it away. It's pretty cool. Probably the only time I'll ever drive a guard motor. But in the steering, you know, by this, like I said, it's Sunday, so that's been run, what, three times?
Three times.
Four times. So this, and they'd replaced steering boxes and everything else, and it still was not a very good steering car. And then I was just like, I don't know how, and it's tight in there, and yeah, I.
Could you steer it with the back wheels?
I didn't attempt that.
Didn't try.
He goes, you didn't even step on it. And I'm like, my luck, I would have stepped on it and broke something. He's like, where are you going to brake on it? I'm like, I don't know, but I didn't want to find out. And I was following Bobby Whitaker, so my luck is I would have throttle would have stuck, and I'd have hit him in the ass, and he'd have junked me in the pits, and it just would have been bad. So I was just happy to be cruising up through nice and slow.
It's like Bobby Brockway's car in Pillar Park, Bobby Whitaker in the pits.
There wasn't a pillar left anymore. They'd sedagged it and then cut this off and cut that off. But, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Unlimited nine wire, right?
Unlimited nine. Actually, there wasn't as much as I expected, but.
Yeah. What would you have done different?
Not a thing. Not a thing. Well, it was funny because, like I said, we were standing there talking, and somebody said something about Bobby driving it. And I said, I'll drive that sumbitch for you, Bob. And he goes, you think you can fill my shoes? And just kept on walking. And I'm like, yep, probably not. I'll just stand over here looking at it, Bobby. He was joking, but Bobby's a very
Whitaker
quiet guy.
Whitaker said that to you?
Yeah. Bobby's a very quiet guy, Whitaker. And, you know, he does it. As I've gotten to know him more, you know, I I'll talk to anybody. So I've, you know, I talk to him, and we talk quite a bit here. It's really cool because my thing is I like talking to the more successful guys because I like to hear that we all started the same way. You know what I mean? Everybody kind of started out the same way, not knowing anything, you know, start at the bottom and work your way. You know, to me, I worked it right up near lower middle somewhere. You know, these guys worked it to the top, and it's cool to hear. You know, Bobby Brockway was telling the stories after, you know, after Blizzard Bash when he started out. You know, and it's just cool to hear from those guys. You know, it's you know, and it's good to, I feel it's good to, you know, try to relate to the, you know, some of the younger guys that are getting involved. You know, look at, you know, the guys that have won everything started out the same way. They had the same aches and pains. They had the same growing pains. You know, it's just keep working at it. And it's, you know, it's cool. But
it doesn't matter what level you're at. It seems that no matter what level, you're finishing the car the night before. Dogs. Just like everybody else.
Yeah, that's the cool thing, too, is those guys
never
are.
Never fails, yeah, every time.
Yep.
What's the closest you've ever cut it?
I dropped a hood rebuilding the carburetor on an Imperial the day of Hemlock Fair. On my thumb, cut it right down to the bone. I bandaged it up, ran a derby, won a derby that night. Took the bandage off the next morning. I couldn't lift my thumb up. I cut the tendons in my thumb, and I had to go get thumb surgery after that. But I made sure I ran that derby because I was rebuilding the carburetor the day of the derby.
Yeah. So how'd you hang out of the wheel? I had a
big old wrap thing on it, and yeah. You know, I'm running the shifter with that hand anyways. And
was that a Chevy motor?
No, it was a big black Mopar. And there 67 Imperial, that ran about 20 times.
So. The front end never bent?
No, never.
Hard to believe.
And believe it, that was the first one I ever built, and I didn't do anything to it.
Really?
Yeah. I learned a lot from that car.
And then they really never bent after that. Yeah. So. That's cool. And you probably bought that for like $75 or something back in the day.
I'd just driven to West Virginia to buy my first, it was a 67 two-door Imperial. I get back home with it, and a guy stops at the shop and says, oh, there's one right down the road at a storage unit. And I drove down there, and a guy was on there. I bought it for $200, and it was a four-door 67. It was nicer than the one I drove to West Virginia and paid $700 for.
Wow.
And that was the one I experimented with. It was that four-door one. So.
That's awesome. Missed those days.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Experimented. Yeah. Experimented with a
67 Imperial.
With a $200
I'd always seen Dougie Snyder run them, and you know, they really didn't do much to them. It knocked the windows out of them. You know? But that was back when nobody built the cars.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to hear that you had a car that you ran that many times is sort of that early in your driving career, sort of an anomaly because cars didn't strike me that cars got reused that frequently. Then they were sort of throwaways, weren't they?
They didn't bend. I mean, if you're hitting something with an Imperial, unless you're hitting another Imperial, you're not going to bend the nose. I mean, but if anything, it'd probably eventually pull it out of the floor. I would think.
I'd have to shorten the steering column almost every time I ran it because it would push back farther in the floor. Mm-hmm. Then it got to where I couldn't push the pedals down because the floor was pushing the pedals.
Were cars reused that frequently? I mean, it seemed like that they would run them one time and they'd get thrown away because there's always going to be more.
Yeah. Usually when they started to bend a little bit, you had 20 more sitting out back, you know.
Yeah.
And how many cars do you have now?
I have my kid's 76 Caprice that he won Chemung with twice in a row. Mm-hmm. Sitting out by my house. He's been back there for a year and a half now because he's in the Air Force over in Japan right now, and he's coming back on leave next year to run somewhere with that car again.
That's awesome.
That's all I got right now. You know, so.
But these guys, I mean, like down where he was from, they were really, it was a big derby area. I mean, there was a lot of you guys down there that were running. Yeah. So, I mean, they had a ton of cars. I mean, and it was all good cars. I mean, it's like not like they were demoing, you know, Chevy Ram or Squareback wagons and shit like that. I mean, it was all the best of the best.
I'd always have a row of 15 or 20 Shocker Mopars. And, you know, when one started to bend, I'd yank, I like this motor. It ran good, so I stuck it in that one. And
the Snyders, they had just tons of, I mean, they had a lot of Mopars down there.
Yeah.
I remember the first time that I remember really meeting those guys when we did that deal at Black Rock in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys were unique.
Yeah.
Without compare. Yeah. they were a lot of fun.
And you know what the funny thing was is I'd always heard of them and I'd kind of watched them run some. And then when they started running at Canandaigua, I came into pits one day and I just, being me, I walked up and started asking questions. And they were both excellent. Anything I asked, they'd tell me, you know. And it was really cool. It was really cool. They, you know, they taught me some stuff about Chrysler's. But it was cool.
Yeah, they're the ones that got me into Chrysler's because you know, when I was a teenage kid before I was running, they'd always have me come over and sit by their cars and make sure no one messed with them. You know? Mm-hmm. And I'd start watching what they did, and You know, I was 14 years old. I was running a Grand Fury under some other guy's name. I don't remember his name now. Them guys got me going into the Chrysler stuff.
And Dougie was a hell of a wheelman. Dougie could drive a derby car. Nothing against Danny. Danny's good too, but Dougie was
In what sense are you saying he was a driver? He was wide open end to end.
No, he drove hard, but he won. I mean, he was just good in his.
You didn't know he was there till the end, and he pick and chose. He taught me how angles to hit and where to hit and. All sorts of stuff because it's so much more than just hitting each other.
Yeah. The thing I learned from Dougie is he wouldn't waste a shot. Like, he wouldn't hit you in the doors. Yep. If he was going to hit you, it'd be in a tire. You know, he'd break an axle or he'd break an A-arm or something like that. He didn't waste – because, I mean, those cars were basically stock back then. I mean, there wasn't much they could do to them. So, I mean, every hit you were –
there wasn't the technology to know to do stuff. I mean, it hadn't even evolved yet.
Yeah, but I mean, still,
because you can't tell me that if they knew to tilt stuff then, all that stuff would be happening.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, Dougie could knock a tire off a car easier than, he was good. He would just, and I mean, they started out with Fords. I remember talking to them, asking them both, we started with Fords, and then we went to they used to run the Galaxies, and then they went to the Mopars, and, I couldn't tell you I couldn't even venture, I guess, how many features they won together. I think Dougie won State Fair 3 times and Danny won it twice, I believe.
I think Danny just had it once.
Oh, really?
Dougie. Chunk won it once. Steve got it once.
Yeah. Did you ever win the State Fair?
I came second 3 times.
Did you? Yeah. I couldn't remember. I knew you were.
I was close. The last year I ran, I thought I had. I was in there with Brett and I got hung up. It was down to me and Brett and a couple other guys and I got hung up and. He drove right by me a couple times. I don't think he saw me.
GM or Mopar?
I had a Pontiac Grand Prix because it was J&M
Derby. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
Was that the year that Brett was scooping handfuls of track dirt into the carburetor?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I think you were number 16 or 18 or something. I remember. I
remember, but yeah.
Yep.
Drove very conservative and then you did. Got hung up at the end.
But that's what you had to do. I mean, when there's 70 fresh cars on that track, if you want to win, you can't drive hard. I mean, when I went up there, the first time I went up there with that Cordoba, I mean, I'm a ladlehead for the most part when I drive. But, I mean, I went out there and just scraped sides until the officials on one end, all of them were screaming at me. So I went to the other end and did the same thing. And when I was done, I was seventh. There were 6 other cars that were still going and I broke a drive shaft. So, I mean, but that's it. Then with that many fresh cars, that if you wanted to win, you weren't going to go up there and drive hard. I mean, you had to be smart about it. But it was fun. Those derbies were, there was no doubt that was a fun show to go up and run in.
Yeah.
Then the few years you guys ran it when Dirt had it. I mean, that was a really good derby then.
I remember the one time they had 90 cars out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't think I moved 20 feet from where I started because you couldn't move, It was just a matter of there's derbies. Separate derbies going all over the track. And I remember the one year they had they drove a car caught on fire and they couldn't get anyone to stop, and they drove a loader out on the track in the middle of the derby trying to get the car off.
Yep.
And people were running into the loader and bouncing out.
It was pretty wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I never heard that story before.
They drove
a loader out in the middle of the derby because nobody derby. Stopped just drag the car off.
That used to be a kick-ass derby. It used to be great to.
Yeah, it's everyone used to look forward to the State Fair, and then now nobody wants to go.
Yeah, which I think Brett's got a good thing. It started last year. Hopefully, I talked to him about going to the, I don't know what it's called, but like it's where all the fairs have their meeting or whatever, so he can get his name out a little more. The convention, because I think a lot of guys, good track, good rules, not keeping your cars. I think you could have something really good with that. I think that's what.
Yeah, I hope is, his September show, or whatever that was there at the end of the year. We had a lot of cars there this past year, but a lot of people didn't know about the championship show, so we didn't have many people for that. So hopefully, the word's out now. And
Definitely.
Because was it Rick Clark? I think won that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rick he ran the table. Yeah. He won both, didn't he?
Yeah,
he won the spring show and he won the September show.
Yep. Rick had a pretty good year.
He did just fine.
Yeah.
He won Stoneboro.
Yeah.
He won the Hogwild Fall Brawl show that we saw.
He would have been right there at Bash for Cash. I think he ended up getting hung up.
I you know, honestly, I couldn't tell you. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he ended up getting Honok at Bash for Cash, but he was driving. His heat was like 45 minutes when he won that. And that was a fast paced heat too. I mean, it was 45 minutes, but they were hitting hard for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, this year's pace at Bash for Cash was definitely faster.
Yeah, the 80s class, they really picked it up. The turn back clock that they switched the year before was a turn back. The clock was on the gas in the 80s, and newer wasn't. And this year they switched. But I liked the stuff they did out there. It was good.
It was good. I assume we'll be back out there for that one. There's a long list of shows that we're going to be at this year.
Absolutely,
it's. We're already booking stuff in 2018, which is...
I've heard a rumor about that.
Crazy. Which is insane.
It's awesome. Yep.
We'll cross those bridges when we get there. I just never expected to be in this spot. I mean, here we are a couple weeks away from having our second New Year's Eve party.
You know, and I'm going to say for the record again that last year, it was about... Was it later than this last year when you decided you wanted to have the party? Or was it...
No. No, it was before Blizzard Bash. It was at the end of September that we started.
Thought it was later.
That we done. No.
And I got to admit, I thought Chris was crazy when he says, I'm going to have a New Year's Eve party. And I went, dude, you're insane. And like most things Chris does when it comes to this.
That's not what you said. What
did I say?
You said, you're crazy. How much is that going to cost? And I told you. Then you said I was insane.
All right. But
I remember that vividly because it put everything into perspective. It's like, if Brian's doubting me this much, I'm making a mistake.
It wasn't that I was doubting you. I don't doubt you on most of your calls, but I thought you were insane for that. But like most stuff with this business, you have proven the naysayers and doubters wrong, and this year is going to be even bigger. So
it's going to be nuts.
There's still tickets left, am I right? There's still tickets left.
There's a handful. We can go over it again. This is where you can find information on it. Jump online. Which one is it? There it is. Jump online. shop.smashnetpire.com. You can order your tickets there. There are no tickets sold at the door. There's a handful of tickets left, and in worst case, we can accommodate a few more. But I got to know if you're committing to coming ahead of time, so that I can get the head count in for to make sure everybody's accommodated at the buffet. It's $260 for a couple. That includes two dinner passes, two open bars from 8 to midnight. It includes your overnight accommodations. It includes midnight snacks and champagne toast at midnight. And it also includes tickets to the door prizes for each of the people in the couple. And the door prizes, the first three on the list are the Crown Vic, the Lumina, and the Dodge truck. Then we've got the Chrysler being raffled off separate of that, which is what Aaron came in to talk about. It's a 1974
with all the
Chrysler
old
Newport.
Stranger parts.
Yeah, there's old Stranger parts that are in that. That's
which
gonna
are
make
top
that
of the line.
Dustin Anderson put in an order for CFP parts, which is pretty cool.
That's
so
awesome.
Some CFP
He's getting a lot of stuff off there. I seen quite a bit of stuff at Blizzard Bash. He's doing well for himself.
Ryan's going to be there.
Yep.
He's going to have a table in the back. I talked to Ryan the other day. He's going to be coming to Finger Lakes Speed World and vending up there so he can make some contacts with drag racers and dirt track drivers to see what they need so he can diversify yet again.
Cool.
And then we're going to have the DMM Bolton Cradle, the 03 newer conversion setup that's going to be raffled off separate of the door prize stuff. And if anybody wants to throw door prize stuff on the table, by all means, when you get there, throw it on the table. We'll find a way to give it away for sure. So that's the abridged version. There are singles tickets available. There's non-overnight tickets available if you jump online, shop.smashedempire. But we got to have the names in ahead of time because it's getting so full. I got to know if we need to reorganize the room, which we really don't want to go through and do that.
We can just knock a wall down.
Well, we got a DJ this year, so we gave up some space. And the podcast that we do this year is going to be quick. I'm going to start it quick at the beginning. We're going to give away the 14 or 15 year-end awards that we've got, and then we're going to cap it because I'm going to eat warm food at the New Year's Eve party this year.
It's all gluten-free?
And the whole buffet is, yes.
And it was kick-ass food. It was great last year.
Yeah.
Great.
Same.
Yeah. Really
same
good.
Same menu. Same menu and everything, and the same cook and everything. So we should be in good shape, should be safe. And then the news that I've had, some people that aren't worried about drinking at the party don't care about this. There's some other people that have been very, very concerned because last year New Year's Eve fell on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. So at midnight, everything shut down. Mm-hmm. I've already confirmed that while the bar in our room is going to close at midnight, that'll be done. I don't anticipate them converting that over to a cash bar. Buoys, which is the bar that's in the
at the other end.
At the other end, that's going to be right around the corner from the Chancellor's room.
It's not that far from where the room is. I assume
it's the same.
It's
right around the corner.
Yep.
It's right around the corner from the Chancellor room is Bowie's, and they're going to be open until 2. So if you don't want to go back and have a room party, then you can go to check out the scene at Bowie's. But nonetheless, for those that were concerned about that last year, the calendar has helped us fix that. Beyond that, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
I'd like to think so.
I thought it was a great time last year.
There's a lot of people that are talking about, like, I'm bringing my trailer because I'm taking a car home, which is cool. But so I anticipate a lot of the folks that have been buying tickets and stuff, they haven't bought the raffle tickets online, and I've asked them, like, so is it, you know, what is it you're looking for? If you don't want the Shockers, nothing to do with the Shocker, I'm gonna wait till we buy the tickets there. I thought we could only win the tickets if we're there. So you don't have to be present to win. Last year there's a guy in Pennsylvania that won the Riviera and he wasn't there.
That's what I was just gonna touch on. I've had people ask me about that. You don't need to be there. If you're not there, I can take it and store it for you so you can come get it. Or I'm running back and forth to North Carolina every month. I mean, I'm usually heading south empty. If someone can meet me on somewhere, I'd meet them with it. But if you're worried about what's going to happen to the car, I have a spot to keep it out of the weather.
It's right at Brian's house.
Even if it's, you know, six months. Full there. Yeah, you might run it before you get to get it.
I could. I would mind that. 74 Newport's pretty nice.
Yeah, so you don't have to be present to win that car. The Bolton Cradle, you do. The door prizes, obviously, you do. But otherwise, yeah, it's shaping up to be a good time. I would be remiss if we didn't mention some of the other folks that are going to be there. Mad Mike DeFrisia.
Yep.
He's going to be there on hand. Jesse Kunkel is going to be there. You can look for more information on these guys that's coming out online as we get closer. Ron McClung's going to be there. He's going to have some of the diecast with him.
I think Rick's coming, Rick and his wife.
Rick Clark's talking about it. He hasn't made a firm decision, but he said it's like 90% yes.
unless the Derby springs up or something, because he's almost up for a Derby too.
You never know. Brad Tice is going to be there again. So cool. if you've got any questions about how to build Fords for Blizzard Bash, Dylan Lane's going to be there. So you can ask him. And they won the championship in years past, and
they
ended up running
the show this year.
Black and White did an awesome job this year. So Dylan Lane's going to be there. If you got Ford questions, your Caddy questions, Brad Tice is going to be there as well. So you can run that by that. And Jesse Kunkel drove with Team Hoffmeister back before it was Shanley Motorsports.
Yep. Jesse builds a pretty mean Caddy.
He's gotten Mad Dog awards at two different divisions at Bash for Cash, right? Didn't he win stock and
He just
won the old iron?
Just turn back the clock.
Just turn back the clock.
Yep. 2 years ago.
Yeah, we were there for that. He earned every bit of that award.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, because he finally stopped when he broke the tranny into pieces. When he stopped moving.
Scattered, I believe was the word it was described.
Yeah.
Scattered it.
Yeah, he was driving hard.
But I mean no offense to forget anybody else that is coming. It's Dan Bolton's going to be there. You can ask him how to.
Of course, Josh Decker will be there.
Yep,
signing autographs.
Yeah, signing autographs. Yeah. Just ask Chris if it's okay to talk to him before you just walk up. And Chris is his PR guy. So
somebody asked me if Josh was going to have his aviators or another style sunglasses at the party.
Maybe we can start like betting odds.
Yeah, with so much sunglasses.
Yeah,
Fantasy League, Chris. Fantasy League on what?
Taking lines. Fantasy League on what glasses?
What glasses Decker wears?
I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea at all. But Jeremy Gully, George Hackett are both planning on coming.
Yep,
those guys are going to be there. It's going to be good to see them. Jake Sherman, Eric Mears. It's going to be a great time.
Absolutely,
looking forward to it. I'm almost rushing the month. I find myself because we got a lot stacked in at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to.
Always busy.
That's true. That is
always busy.
That is true.
I mean, I'm not Chris is. We just come and go, but Chris is always busy.
Just show
to be
up.
Honest.
You just show up with your helmet and talk.
Just show up and
talk into a microphone.
What do you think, Chris Marquardt?
I know we did a good job for being a little bit concerned on how the night was gonna progress. We worked out. Worked out all right. Oh, we got a question here. Let's see if we can get a response to this gentleman's question quickly. But again, that's where you can find all the information. There's order links. There's a Facebook event page. I was disappointed that Christy Germain isn't going to be able to make it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've got some stuff that's come up with with some stuff going on at home. So we wish them the best with that, and hopefully everything works out well along those lines. Jeremy Elliott, quick recovery to him. I don't know if you saw that. He had a nasty accident in the shop, and he ended up in the hospital. So Jeremy Elliott, the Stacks.
Yeah.
Elliott, perfect amount of motorsports. The only details I got was that there was an accident in the shop. He'll most likely be fine, but wasn't good. Had some bad luck this year. He did.
Okay. Hope you feel better, buddy.
Yeah. So wishing the best to him. I think we've covered all of our bases the course of the evening.
You touch on that the I can't remember if it was before last week or since last week. JC Molly's the big show he was putting on in Florida has now been moved to 2018
already. Yes, we've already pushed that out. We talked about that a little bit last week when Jason was on.
I wasn't sure.
And there's still some conversations about what they're going to try or not try to do down there in February. Once all that stuff gets more concrete, we'll get JC or one of the Sciopas on to talk about what their ultimate game plans are. But in the interest of competition, they've taken the big invitational show that was planned for February 2017, and that's already been relocated to February 2018. That's going to give everybody involved more a chance time to be more prepared than trying to shove it through. Because the last thing you want to do is put a square peg through a round hole and just have it flop. You know what I mean? You got logistics of drivers, you got logistics of rules, trying to get the cars there. If the cars aren't already in Florida, then they got to be trailered in. It's just that there was a lot of – the wisest move they could have made was to take and postpone it now instead of doing it the last week of January when people already had flights booked and things like that. So there's more information coming tied to that stuff as we get deeper into the winter, and we'll be touching on that stuff. There's a lot of stuff that we need to watch as we move towards the first of the year, but right now everybody's just enjoying some downtime with family, looking forward to the holidays coming up.
How many shows are you going to have RC cars for Alan at? Because, I mean, he is
– I'm trying to get him to run next weekend, but he said he would only run if I run, and my stuff's junk. I show up unprepared. It's always junk. It doesn't last. So if I just put a car on the track and tell them I'm going to run, I don't have to turn the thing on. But I got a brand new Tillery body that I was going to take down to Chaos in the Valley. Ended up not having to because my purple car was still good. So I was thinking about maybe letting him run that. But he really, really wants me to fix what's left of his Sabres car. But there's nothing to fix. It's flat in the front all the way back to the front wheels, and it's flat in the back all the way up to the back wheels. So I don't know if he's going to drive or not.
I guess that wasn't an Ohio build.
No, we built that thing. We built that thing just for fun. He wanted a Sabres car, so we threw something together that we had, and he took it down to Woodstock, Chaos in the Valley, and he held his own. I mean, he was against
a driver, man.
Ed Brewster was there with one of Ed's cars, and then Jimmy Aldrich was there with two cars that he builds out of Pennsylvania, which were way harder than anything that. Hey, that I've ever built.
I'm sure when it comes time, we can find a subframe to put in that Newport at your house, and we can get them.
I don't think that day's coming.
I'm not aware of that.
I'm not aware of that time schedule, really.
We can get them ready. We know guys that build Imperials pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
Know where to get subframes. Put a motor in it.
I feel like
it's gonna happen.
Yeah, saw that on a shirt one time.
Saw it on a shirt. It's gonna happen.
We got a bunch of new apparel coming out.
Another Josh Tucker shirt. Did you re-up?
Secret.
We got all sorts of new stuff coming out.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
But, it's got to be secret because we don't even know about it. Well, I'm sure Josh does, but Josh the rest does. Of us don't know about it.
I don't tell Josh anything because he starts telling everybody.
Got a big mouth like that? You can't keep a secret?
Nah. Poor guy.
Put a fork in it.
Yep. It's going to do it. Appreciate everybody tuning in with us through the course of the evening. Aaron Bunce, appreciate you coming in and hanging out with us for a while.
Thank
you so much for the car.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Coming and being part of New Year's Eve this year. It's going to be awesome to have you on board.
Looking forward to it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definite. This thing certainly seems to have some longevity tied to it, and I'm looking forward to many more of these to come. And it's been a lot of fun putting it together, and I hope the Holiday Inn knows what they've signed up for. They've gotten a mild reprieve knowing that Blizzard Bash Panda isn't coming, but nonetheless.
Could get wild.
They're gonna have their hands full. That's going to do it for episode number 158 in the books. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. We're going to be back here again next week. We'll probably be talking with Doug Medlin, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up with Aaron Savage and talk a little bit about the lawnmowers that he's been discussing with us through Facebook private messages. That's going to do it for us here from the Finger Lakes 1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls. This has been the Crash Course. We'll see you next week.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com. The 2015 Ladino Grand Slam. Bolt Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015. Demo Derby Master. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.